From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. Later tonight, Peru reopening its UFO files. I wonder why. Here's what's happening. An Earth-facing sunspot has erupted tonight, producing an M9-class solar flare. This is not an X-flare, but this is pretty good size. A flash of extreme UV radiation from the flare ionized Earth's upper atmosphere, created a brief HF radio blackout on the sunlit side of the planet. Let's check in with Earth Changes Media's Mitch Batras. Mitch, we saw a pretty big one here, huh?
It is, and it caught everybody off guard. I went through most of my channels today. Of course, it did just happen within the last 3 hours. And it is the largest solar event of this whole solar cycle, of cycle 24.
This sunspot, it's got the possibility of creating an X-flare, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Very strong. They're estimating up to a 60 to 65% for sunspot region 1875. And for region 1877, about a 60%.
And it's facing right at us. So thank you so much, Mitch. Bank America has been found liable for fraud on claims related to defective mortgages sold by its countrywide unit. It's a major win for the U.S. government and one of the few big trials stemming from the financial crisis. Following this four-week trial, the federal jury in Manhattan found that Bank America was liable on one civil fraud charge, and I'm sure they'll have a hefty fine to pay. Nissan plans to recall more than 188,000 of its sport utility vehicles worldwide due to the increased risk of a crash posed by potentially faulty brake software. Be careful there. The risk from saturated fat foods such as butter, cakes, and fatty meat is being overstated and demonized, according to a cardiologist. Dr. Asim Malhotra said that there's way too much focus on the fat, and other factors such as sugar are often overlooked. He said it's time to bust the myth of the role of saturated fat in heart disease. He wrote this in the British Medical Journal, but the British Heart Foundation said, no, there's conflicting evidence. Let's check in with the expert, Christian Wild. Christian, give me your take on this story.
Well, the British medical establishment defended their position and said that there wasn't a whole lot to this. Now, you look at something like that, and then you pull up the American Journal of Nutrition, where they compare vegetarian and non-vegetarian Seventh-day Adventists, and the risk of fatal cardiovascular disease, it was learned, was three times greater among the non-vegetarian group, who incidentally did eat saturated fat, compared to those who ate the plant-based diet.
I think I'm going to stick with my own diet, Christian.
Well, stick with that Mediterranean one, too.
Yeah, it works. Christian's website, by the way, myheartbook.com. Interested in calling him? Call 866-STEM-123. Incredible discovery in the Middle East, a curse tablet dating back around 1,700 years, probably written by a magician, has been discovered in a collapsed Roman mansion in Jerusalem. The text is written in Greek. In the inscription, a woman named Carilla invokes the names of six gods to cast a curse on someone, apparently over a legal case. How about that? New Galaxy, it's our feature story at coasttocoastam.com. An international team of astronomers has detected the most distant galaxy yet. It's about 30 billion light years away, and it's helping scientists shed some light on the period that immediately followed the Big Bang. It's an incredible picture if you want to see that at coasttocoastam.com. Check in now with Peter Davenport from the National UFO Center for his weekly update on what's going on in those skies. Peter, what do we got?
Well, thank you for having me on, George. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be here and share some interesting information with our listeners. I'm very pleased to be able to report that I'm going to start with blue objects tonight. I've reported so many red and orange and yellow objects during my recent appearances that I had the impression I might be demoted if I did that again. So please note I'm starting with blue objects tonight. The first sighting is from Choctaw, Oklahoma, just on the east side of Oklahoma City.
Okay.
A gentleman called me tonight, very responsible guy, very eloquent. A gentleman, a former public employee, who I presume is accustomed to bearing a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, standing outside with his young son this evening. At about, I think it was 7:30 or so, they saw a blue disc streak across the northern sky from west to east. That's significant because that tends to militate against the possibility of a meteor. Very, very interesting sighting, principally because it's very similar to what we received last night from New Hampshire. Had a couple very high-quality reports submitted from Ossipee, New Hampshire, up sort of north-northeast of Manchester, halfway up the border with Maine. A gentleman, very responsible guy, a successful businessman, reported to say he saw a blue disc streak across the night sky last night, the 22nd of October, headed to the southeast. Shortly after we took his call, we got a call from a young mother. She sounded quite concerned about what her daughter had reported having seen. The daughter reported having seen a blue disc descend out of the night sky, hover for a few seconds, and then suddenly accelerate and go streaking off. Very high quality reports, and I'm particularly grateful to that young 11-year-old gal, that young lassie from Kensington, New Hampshire. And for those people who recognize the name Kensington, New Hampshire, I give them an A+. That is the actual site of the so-called incident at Exeter.
That's right.
Probably read. It actually occurred in Kensington, not Exeter, and I've written articles about it. Tonight, a very good sighting report from Cedarville, California, up in the northeast corner of California, a few miles east of Alturas. A group of four people witnessed a whole bunch of, again, I apologize, George, orange lights in a cluster streaking across the night sky and maneuvering relative to one another. Very similar to a report we got last night from Arlington, Texas, a gentleman whom I can, I guess, correctly describe as a professional photographer, saw two groups of three orange light clusters from Arlington, Texas, just on the south side of Dallas-Fort Worth. We updated our website tonight, thanks to our trusty webmaster, so there are about 260 other reports that our listeners can go and read for themselves. A lot of interesting reports recently.
Super. UFOCenter.com. Thank you, Peter. Now, you know the name McAfee Antivirus. It's on a lot of computers. In a moment, the founder, the creator, John McAfee, joins me on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Let me tell you about our guest for the first couple hours here, John McAfee, who's born in the United Kingdom, raised in Salem, Virginia. He received his bachelor's degree in mathematics from Roanoke College back in 1967. And then in the late 60s, he was a programmer at NASA, eventually began developing software to combat computer viruses. Then he founded the company that you all know, McAfee Associates. That was back in 1987. It was bought out by Intel. He stayed with the company in 1994. He's had an incredible career. Some controversy lately. He's okay. We're going to bring him on and talk with him about everything. John, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Well, thank you, George. I'm glad to be here at this late hour.
And I trust you are safe somewhere, and you're out of Belize now, right?
Oh, yes. I've been out of Belize for about a year. I do believe that my trials and tribulations aren't over. I'm in no legal difficulties. They're unhappy that I continue to trash the company, the country, in terms of its safety and corruption.
You went there. You formed a company there, didn't you?
Quite a few companies, actually. I can't retire. It seems I want to. I'd like to sit somewhere and fish, but while I'm fishing, I get ideas for companies and drop my rod and go and start them. So. It's a tragedy. But I started a cigar company, a coffee company, an antibiotic research company, of about 17 companies in all.
Well, I'm glad you got out of Belize safely. Bizarre story out there.
It was a bizarre story, and it was, you know, some stupidity on my part, moving into the jungle as the only white man in a region of 17,000 native Belizeans. With conspicuous wealth, they eventually came to me and asked for a, quote, donation of $2 million, which, had I been smart, I would have just written them a check and gone back to work, but I said no.
Well, and after that, they came after you with all kinds of atrocities. How did you get out of there?
Well, it was not easy. The problem started in April of last year when they sent 42 soldiers onto my property, shot my dog, did $500,000 worth of damage, handcuffed me and left me kneeling in the sun for 14 hours, and then quietly left me alone. A week later, they came back and asked if I would reconsider my donation, and I said no. Instead, I went to the international press and raised, you know, just raised holy hell and said, you know, this is what happened to me.
Yeah.
This is unfair. And I've had a running war ever since then. In November, my neighbor was killed, which I absolutely had nothing to do with, and that gave the government an opportunity to bring me in for questioning because I'm a neighbor.
I suspect they might have done him in, John, just to try to get at you.
That was the first thought that occurred to me, the very first thought. In fact, my caretaker told me about the tragedy, and I said, "Oh my Lord, they either killed the wrong white man, or they were trying to set me up." But in any case, I was not going to submit to questioning because in Belize they can hold you forever just for questioning with no charges.
You went to Guatemala, you got out of there, and now you're here in the States.
I'm here in the States.
Somewhere, and we're not going to talk about where. Obvious reason. John, I want to talk with you about your career. It is phenomenal, but two major things have been going on in this country of late. One is the NSA spying on just about everybody on this planet, and the other, of course, is the most recent collapse of the Obamacare website. And I want to get your take as an expert in the computer world. How could they come out with a website and it just fail? I mean, how did they get this wrong?
Well, they got it wrong by number one, choosing the wrong contractor to do the implementation. They chose a Canadian company called CGI, which has been in trouble with the Canadian government many times for non-delivery. Why they chose that, I do not know. It's politics, after all.
Sure.
So there's a reason. CGI is famous for, cutting their costs while increasing their profits. They used a number of programmers from India, and I'm not dissing Indian programmers. They're brilliant people. However, they go through the CGI training. It's a couple of months, and they're very low-level programmers. And they did most of they assigned most of this system to them. Well, this is a mistake, and not because it happens to be in India, but they happen to be not very senior programmers. This needed to be done by a serious team of top-notch people. And then the second thing is that they've clearly never heard of quality assurance. I mean, that's a concept that's clearly gone over someone's head. Normally, you do a software rollout. You do an alpha test, a beta test, which takes many months, work the bugs out, and then you put it out. This did not go through either, apparently. There were programs that clearly could never operate. If you look at them, they have misspellings in the basic instructions. They can't run.
John McAfee, of course, he founded and created the McAfee anti-software. How difficult is it, John, to create a working website?
Well, a working website is, everybody and their brother does that with their software that lets you do that. You can do it in a couple of hours. So the website it's not the issue. I think it's the complexity of their architecture. Much of the processing for the insurance process is done remotely on your computer when they download all these programs onto your system. The reason they do that is to save processing on the government computers, but that's idiocy. What it does is make the transfer of data back and forth so huge that the system crashes. It cannot support itself. It is basically attacking itself as it runs. Very bizarre concept.
It sure
is. Unique. I mean, I was very interested, going, wow, I've never heard of this before, but not very functional.
How difficult is it to hack into this kind of website?
Anybody can hack into that kind of crowd. I've seen the source code. You can download the source code.
Oh, so
if you can
no.
do that, you can get anything. Also, there are no safeguards for examiners, false websites for examiners that are hackers advertising and getting people to put their social security number, their birth date, their medical record.
Oh, boy.
And then the following day, their bank accounts are emptied. It's a very bizarre system, and I don't know how this occurred, but I do know that it cannot be fixed in its current state. You got to throw it away and start over.
Throw the whole thing away. So if they came to you, that's what you would do. The first thing you just say, shut this thing down. It's not going to be used. We're going to start all over.
Well, but they did come to me. They came to me last week.
Oh, they did.
John Hayes, the attorney for the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, which for some odd reason oversees Obamacare. Asking if I would come to Washington and advise them. I had already publicly stated the system can't work and they have to throw it away. They're not going to do that. It's just not going to happen. So they really had no interest in getting my input to fix things. It was sort of a PR move, but a desperately bad PR move. Now, would you publicly state we've hired John McAfee to they help us fix this problem? Well, the Democrats made hay out of it, Murder suspect McAfee the ex-fugitive McAfee hired by the Republicans to help fix Obamacare. So in any case, it's a mess. There's nothing I can do. They're not going to do what needs to be done. They will probably put out a statement saying, we're going to fix this, and it will take many years, and Obama will leave office, and it'll be dropped on the next president.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Politics.
Let's talk a little bit about the NSA, John. Spying on just about every person, every entity worldwide. I mean, every day now, another horrible revelation, spying on everybody in France, Germany. Of course, we know what they've been doing here. One, can computers actually track all this information? I mean, millions and millions of amounts of data from phones and websites and emails. How do they do this?
Okay, let me tell you something about computers. When I was in Belize, and I hate to admit this, after the soldiers came and shot my dog and molested me and walked off, I gave about 50 laptop computers to every minister in the government, their secretaries, their aides, their family members, and they were snapped up easily. On every one of those computers, I had placed keystroke logging software, which called home me and told me everything that was happening. I could go into a minister's office, not in. I could turn on those laptops, the microphones, and the cameras anytime I wanted and watch and hear everything. Now, I believe I acted wisely because I did discover their plans to, and also some very horrible things about the government. The prime minister had ordered the murder of Arthur Young, that the minister of national security was selling passports to Iranians and Koreans, for $100,000 a pop. But anybody can do this. It doesn't require someone like me with my expertise. A child could. So the NSA can do it. They can, if they manage to plant a piece of software in your laptop and you leave the lid up in your bedroom, they can watch everything that's happening. So it doesn't take a miracle to do this. But I'd like to point out, we're talking about the NSA. Do you realize there are 17 covert government agencies? You know for a fact that if the NSA is doing it, so is the FBI, the CIA, the Secret Service.
Good point.
The Army Intelligence, they're all doing it.
A good point indeed. What are they looking for, John? Most people will say, I don't care. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not a terrorist. That's not the point, is it?
Well, it's not the point for me, absolutely not. I don't care. It's still a human being looking. It's not the fact that I'm doing something wrong. I don't want someone watching me in bed with my wife. I mean, that's fundamentally wrong. I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with I'm trying to hide something. We have to have privacy to be human.
Yeah.
And we're losing that rapidly.
Can it be fixed in terms of the way we are approaching these things? I know technically I'm sure we can come up with things to fight back, but what do we do to get these governmental people off our backs?
Well, George, this is America. And we have a constitution that was put together by some very brilliant men. Benjamin Franklin was one of the finest minds that ever existed. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, brilliant people. they put together a constitution which gives us, the people, the power to throw these jerks out. Really, we just said we don't have the balls to do it. We are too afraid. We're afraid that the terrorists are going to come in, so we want the government to give us the Transportation Security Administration and Homeland Security and all of these other things. But
hold on for a second, John. We're going to take this break. We're going to come right back. John McAfee with us on Coast to Coast AM. Now, next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. We'll take some of your calls with John McAfee. I've got more to talk with him about when we come right back on Coast to Coast. There are some documentaries being made and things like that. We'll talk with him about that as well. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. John McAfee with us. John, when Wozniak and Jobs, when they were putting together their computer in a little garage, did they even know what a virus was?
Well, no. No one knew what a virus was. The concept of a virus never entered anyone's mind. It first entered someone's mind in the little town of Lahore, Pakistan, where two brothers running a computer store thought of this idea of, gee, we can make a program that will replicate itself and attach itself to other programs and run around the world, which it did. And that was a virus called the Pakistani brain.
Ah.
Up to that point, and to my knowledge, it certainly never entered my mind, and I never heard anyone talk about it, the idea of a virus-like substance, of a piece of program that would act like a living infectious entity, never occurred to someone. I was astounded when I first heard of it. It was the day after the thing was first discovered. My brother-in-law handed me a newspaper. I was reading the story, and I go, whoa. I thought about it for a few minutes, and I go, oh, I know how they did that. And then simultaneously, it occurred to me how to stop that. So I wrote a little program and put it on the bulletin board, which at that time was all we had as an excuse for the Internet. And the rest is history. It just went around the world and became instantly a required program.
Yeah, it did. It exploded. At what point, then, did Intel come in and buy you out?
Well, Intel came in just 2 years ago. I think they paid about $8 billion for the company.
Whoa!
But I walked away in about, I think, 1994. I was, the company had grown so large that I no longer enjoyed anything. I enjoy creative things. I enjoy small teams of researchers and workers and developers. I found myself sitting in an office dealing with board members and stockholders and personnel problems and things that I have absolutely no interest in. So I hired
a senior
VP from IBM and put him as the president and simply walked out.
And you never looked back?
Never looked back.
You're starting a lot of other businesses now. Some are related, some aren't, as you just mentioned. What keeps John McAfee going?
Well, curiosity. I'm very curious about the world. I want to know how things work and how they don't work. I want to experiment with things. I want to travel and see things. That's what led me into the jungles of Belize, looking for plants that had miraculous properties a thing called quorum sensing, which is communication between bacteria. And I have to keep busy. If I don't keep busy, I get in deep trouble. So even when I do keep busy, I get in trouble with that.
You were trying to find some natural antibiotics, weren't you?
I was. In fact, I had discovered it. There's a new science called quorum sensing. We didn't even know that bacteria communicated 10 years ago, but we discovered that, in fact, they do. Plants have been using quorum sensing as a technique to fight off infection for 5 billion years because, you know, plants have been around longer.
And, sure.
They're a little more sophisticated in some areas. And the plants along the rivers of the Belizean jungle had a lot of these qualities. So I was researching that, and it was quite promising until the government stepped in and basically shut me down.
Well, we're into natural a lot on this program. I happen to be a believer that the body can cure itself if you give it the right natural substances. And what amazes me, John, is that this planet apparently has cures for almost every ill. You just have to find it.
Well, absolutely. In fact, if you look at modern pharmacology, 99% of all of our pills and supplements and injections and cures are plant-based.
That's right.
Aspirin, you know, one of the most common of all medications is basically from a bark of a tree.
Yeah, the willow bark, right?
The willow bark. And so people don't realize that. It's just that pharmacology, the major pharmaceutical companies synthesize and thereby destroy or leave out some of the perhaps necessary byproducts and other ingredients in these plants that make it work. So the pharmaceuticals are, you know, something we need to watch. The, you know, Bayer and Merck and the German companies are pretty ruthless in this world today.
Oh, they sure are. Does John McAfee believe in a higher power, a God?
Well, you know, I tell you what, I know for a fact that there is more to life than meets the eye, and that there are inexplicable things that the human mind cannot ever comprehend. I mean, the universe is vast. The human mind is extraordinarily tiny and limited by comparison. So, for everything that we know, there are a trillion things we don't know. And life to me is a never-ending, unfolding mystery. You know, to me, that means there is something other than me, which is far more powerful.
If John McAfee had a chance to go back into time, what would you change about your life? Anything?
Absolutely nothing. You know, that sounds perhaps crude or insensitive. However, I am where I am today because of every moment of my life. If everything had not happened exactly as it happened, I would be somewhere else.
Yep,
and I particularly like where I am. I am comfortable at this point in my existence. The things that I've done that I may have regretted actually taught me a lot. You know, we learn through suffering, and we learn through hard times. And, you know, I remember the song that Cat Stevens wrote. I think it was one of the theme song for one of my favorite movies, Harold and Maude, Troubles. Troubles set me free.
Sure is.
So that is the truth. You know, if we went back and changed all those things that we regret or all those things that hurt us, I fear we would end up being very bland and uninteresting people.
When you went to Belize, was it your intent to stay there for the
Absolutely.
Rest of your life?
I think Belize is a beautiful country from a natural standpoint. It's got the second largest barrier reef in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It has the most pristine jungles and rivers and wildlife. It is unfortunately still a pirate haven and run by the most corrupt people on earth. You know, the drug dealers. Belize is the major highway in Central America for all the drugs that enter this country, all the illegal weapons, all of the terrorist traffic. It all comes through Belize. And it's such a tragedy that such a beautiful country is ruined by such self-centered people.
You know, you're lucky you got out of there. And then in Guatemala, you had to fake a heart attack to get out, didn't you?
Well, not to get out. Here's what happened. I was in Belize for a month and a half before I finally escaped. And they had all the borders locked down. All the army and the police had my photograph looking for me. What I did is I arranged for a double to be arrested in southern Mexico.
Really? And you're not too difficult to hide.
I have that publicized, and the Coast Guard, everybody moved north. All the army, the police, moved to the northern border. Then I chose a rainy day, because in Belize, police never will get out of a car in the rain to do anything. And we waltzed through a half a dozen checkpoints where the police were all huddled inside their car,
amazing,
waving us through because they didn't want to get out and look at us. So it was a piece of cake. And I waltzed across the border with two journalists from Vice magazine and a retinue of young women without any problems whatsoever. And I would have had no trouble except my Vice magazine took a photograph after we crossed the border,
uh-huh,
put it on their website, and left the EXIF data, that is the location data, in the photograph. So then I had to run again. But in Guatemala, the reason I faked the heart attack is I hired Telesflo Guerra, who is the attorney general for the country of Guatemala. And he said, you know, here's the issue. I can get a judge to stay your return to Belize.
Yeah, they were going to extradite you, right? They were thinking about it?
Belize wanted me back. And Guatemala agreed because, you know, they don't want to piss off a neighbor. So the attorney said, listen, I've got a judge that will say they can't leave, take you until noon. I can't file an appeal until 3 p.m. So you have 3 hours that you're going to have to deal with. I said, I understand. I got it. So just before noon, I faked a heart attack. At 3 o'clock, I felt better and went back to my cell.
And how'd you get out of there finally?
Well, my lawyer, he filed so many appeals, and really there was no legal basis internationally to return me to a country that I was not a citizen of. I was not charged with anything.
Right.
And they had to send me back to the States. So that I was there for a week and a half, and they finally said, okay, we're going to send you home.
Now that you're back in the United States, I suspect that John McAfee isn't going to just stop on his past laurels. You're going to continue doing things. What are your plans here?
Well, yeah, I've already started a company called Future Tense, developing a product that hopefully will give us some electronic privacy from the prying eyes of the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, and all the others. It's a completely secure network that no one can tap into because the network is fluid and constantly changing.
I like that.
And so you just can't see where any piece of data is coming from. Now, it may be that I won't be able to build that here and sell it here in America because already the music industry has called it a dangerous concept. And I know for a fact that the covert agencies don't want to see something like this. So I may be, issued a cease and desist order and have to sell this thing everywhere else except America. But I will build it in any case.
Does this come easy to you when you come up with these concepts?
You know, I don't know what it is about my mind, but mathematics and programming have just been second nature to me. When I look at a program, like when I looked at the Obamacare package, not all of the code because there's millions of lines, but a large percentage of it, I see it easily. I don't know why that is.
Were you good in high school?
In some areas, I was great in math and science. Tremendously good, and the same thing in college. I majored in mathematics, and programming is nothing more than math. That's all it is. It's Boolean logic.
What was
a little complex, but still Boolean logic.
What was it like, John, to work with NASA?
It was a blast. I enjoyed NASA. I got to work with the top minds of the age, and I worked. They assigned me to the Tyros weather satellite. That was the first weather satellite that was ever put in space. And I just thought it was the most exciting thing in the world. I also worked at the Goddard Institute for Space Studies. So that's where I was placed at NASA in New York City. So I got the best of everything. In New York City, I got to work with the Institute for Space Studies, and I learned a lot.
Do you still have that great interest in space?
I have a great interest in everything, but specifically, yes, space and science and why we're here and how we got here what came before the Big Bang and if we reach far enough out into the universe, do we see ourselves? I mean, who knows? It's like, I want to know these things, and I want to understand these things. So, yes, great interest, because space is what? It is the universe in which we live.
John McAfee tweets, and he tweets at Official McAfee, and then he blogs at whoismcafee.com. What do you think of the computer world today, John? I mean, where's it going to be 10 years from now?
Well, it's scary to think, because we are increasing our technological sophistication at an astonishing rate. It's a geometrical progression. It used to be every 5 years the technology would double. We would double the speed and the complexity of computers. Now it's every few months.
Yeah.
And who knows? I do know that we are going to see things that we can't even imagine today. That there will be breakthroughs that will provide solutions to many hundreds of problems that we've been working on for generations. What they are, only time will tell. I do know that we will stop this nonsense of having a cell phone and a pad computer and a laptop and a desk computer. That's total garbage. We're carrying around four or five computers with us everywhere. somehow that will be solved, because there only needs to be one. The reason there's more than one is because the screen sizes are different, and some have keyboards and some don't.
Right.
But the input has already reached, especially on Android systems. I can talk to any one of my Android phones, and with a 99% accuracy, it understands what I'm saying. That's magical. And as far as the screens, well, there are a whole bunch of things in the works that won't make screens obsolete. So we are rapidly approaching a phase where one computer will suffice.
What about the big flat screen television, John? Is that going to go too? Is there going to be something else?
I think it is. I think that for example, there are glasses that you can put on where the screen appears to be suspended in space in front of you. When these are perfected to the point that they become extremely high definition, why do you need a huge object on the wall? We just all wear glasses. Then we're not stuck to the sofa, are we?
No, you're not. You could be walking around.
I could go to the refrigerator, and it's still in front of me.
That's right. That's absolutely
so. So I think I don't know whether that technology or some other will supersede it, but believe me, we'll get rid of all of those things.
I feel like the Jetsons. Remember that cartoon when we
absolutely.
Were kids?
Absolutely. We've actually progressed much further than the Jetsons in the area of information processing. I mean, the Jetsons never had a device that you could ask it a question and about anything anywhere, and it would answer it. And that's what Google is now, by the way.
Yeah.
You look at it. So yeah, we've surpassed that in many respects.
John, why is...
We just don't have the jet cars.
That's going to come.
I believe so, too.
Why does miniaturization mean faster and better?
Well, it all comes down to physics. Nothing can move faster than the speed of light, allegedly, and with few exceptions that might just moderately exceed it. Therefore, an electron or an electrical signal can't move faster than the speed of light. So the shorter the distance that this electron has to travel, the faster it gets there. So miniaturization reduces the distance, which increases speed.
It is truly amazing. Technology is something I just am fascinated with, watching the way they change. And, you know, the smartphone, for example, look what it has done to the social networking world. I mean, instant communication now with Twitter, which you're on, Facebook. People just get information now, John, just like that. In my old days, you know, you either had to wait for a breaking radio bulletin or see it on television. That's not the case anymore.
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, we have tremendous power that is given to us through these smartphones. But there's a downside to this, and something we can't forget, and we have to be aware of. Go into any bar, you know, after work, and watch the people. 90% of them are looking at their hands and what's in their hands rather than the person beside them.
You are absolutely right.
And I was in one place where the entire bar was doing that. So I could have gone and I could have broken into the cash register if I was quiet enough. I could have picked everybody's pockets. I could have done whatever I want. Nobody is watching.
I don't think you needed the money to do that, huh?
Well, no, I didn't. I'm just saying that one could do that. So, but this is a very dangerous thing. You realize that. It creates an isolation within the human soul, which I don't think is good for us. And I think we need to be careful and cautious. We need networking, and we need the social systems which allow us to look each other in the eye rather than look at the text which you wrote me just a moment ago.
You know, there are people who I've seen them go into restaurants, couples. You're right. They don't even look at each other. They have their phones and they just text away. Maybe they're texting each other because they don't know how to talk with each other.
Maybe. But see, this is the point. We can't allow ourselves to isolate to the point that there is no longer human contact. That becomes a very scary system for me, a very scary concept. It's, in fact, more scary than all of us looking and acting alike, like 1984,
yeah,
or in communist China in 1937, where there was nothing but gray. There were no colors. That's scary, but not as scary as the individual isolated to infinity.
John McAfee with us. His website, whoismcafee.com. We've got that linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. And his Twitter feed, of course, is at official McAfee, McAfee.com. If you forget how to spell, just look at your computer, because the little icon's got his name there probably on your antivirus system. We're going to come back in a moment. One more final hour with John McAfee. I want to talk a little bit more about the NSA spying and take your phone calls with him on Coast to Coast AM.